children. Receive my peace. Receive my peace, my little ones. Receive my peace. I give it freely. Receive my peace. Receive my peace. Receive my peace. Let it calm your troubled heart. Let it calm your troubled soul. Receive my peace. Receive my peace. Receive my peace. Receive my peace, my children. I give it freely. I give it freely. Receive my peace. Cast all your cares on me. Cast all your cares on me. For I care for you. I care for you. Cast all your cares on me. Cast all your cares on me. For I care for you. Oh, I care for you. Receive my peace. Receive my peace. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You will have tribulation in this world. I have said it. You are seeing it. You will have tribulation in this world. But I say, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world, and your peace, and your victory, your triumph, it's all in me. It's all in me, because I have overcome, and in me you overcome. In me that you overcome this world. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Your triumph is in me. Your triumph is in me, says the Lord, says the Lord. Your triumph is in me, says the Lord. Look not unto the right, look not unto the left, but stay on the narrow path, stay on the narrow path. Stay on the narrow path. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. And I will lead you. And I will guide you always. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Set your hearts, set your affections on things above. Not on this earth, but on things above. Lay not up your treasures in the earth, but lay up your treasures in heaven. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Only what is done for me, only what is done for me will last through all eternity. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Keep your eyes on me. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Stay on the narrow path. Stay on the narrow path. Look not to the left and not to the right, but stay on the narrow path. Keep your eyes on me. Follow me, follow me. I am your shepherd, and I will lead you, I will lead you, I will lead you to where you need to go. I am your shepherd, and I will lead you, I will lead you. You're my sheep, and you hear my voice. You're my sheep, and you hear my voice. If you listen, if you listen, you must listen, you must listen, you must listen, you must listen. Heed my word, feed on my word, feed on my word. I will lead you and I will guide you as you feed on my word. I will lead you, I will guide you. You must listen to my words. You must listen to my words. Eat my words. Eat my words. Hide my word in your hearts. Hide my word in your hearts, that you won't sin against me. Hide my word in your hearts. Hide my word in your hearts, and you won't sin against me. You won't sin against me. Stay on the narrow path. Stay on the narrow path. Broad and wide is the pathway to destruction. Many go that way, many go that way. Narrow is the way to life, narrow is that pathway to life. Few there be that find it, so stay on that path. Stay on that path, stay on that path, and I will lead you. My word is a light unto your path. My word is a light unto your path. It's a lamp unto your feet. It's a lamp unto your feet. It will keep you from the snares. It will keep you from the traps that the enemy has laid. It will keep you from the traps that the enemy has laid. Submit yourselves to me. Submit yourselves to me. My word is a light unto your path. It's the lamp unto your feet. It's the lamp unto your feet. It illuminates your way. It keeps you in the light. My word keeps you in my light. My word keeps you in my light. Follow my word. Follow my word, and you will stay on the path. You will stay on the path. Follow my word. Follow my word, and you will follow me. You will follow me. You will follow me, says the Lord. You will follow me, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ora me che si andorolo mochera. Ora me che si ari de sore de de che. Father, we thank you. follow me, says the Lord. Follow me. Follow me.
Why would you think these things to be strange? As I sit on my throne, I hear my children crying out for an encounter with me. The problem is that so many of my children have in their minds defined what an encounter with me would be. But since I am God, I will move in the way that I know is best. When you come to know me, you'll understand better about how I move and why. I am drawing my church into a deeper place with me. Those who will follow are going to have a great and mighty encounter with me. I move at times like this, and I create an atmosphere that is very easy for you to receive from me. Do not allow the traditions of past religion or the things that you have created in your own mind to keep you from receiving from me. I see much stubbornness in many hearts. Please know that what you perceive of me is not always right. Many of you have allowed your own feelings, your emotions, your reasonings to create barriers to my healing and my deliverance and my move in your life. Please understand, I am trying as hard as I can to move in a divine and supernatural fashion in you. But you must let me work the way that I work. And this is why so many of you do not have peace. It's because you're not allowing me to work the way that I work. If you have not figured out how to solve all of your problems by now, what makes you think that another 24 hours will help? What makes you think that another week will help? Or another month? How much longer will you continue to try and solve these problems and resolve these issues on your own? You say you're trusting me, and in your mind, that's what you think. But in reality, you're trusting yourself more than you're trusting me. And look at your life. You're still dealing with the same issues over and over and over. But I am your God, and I am your Father. I can bring about not just relief, but permanent change to these things in your life. There are times where you have not liked the individual through whom I have spoken, and you have rejected words that I have given, sermons that have been preached, because you disagreed with the person, didn't like their personality, their style of delivery, the way that they present themselves. They did not meet your standard. But I would have you consider, if I used them and I spoke through them, then did not I approve of what they were doing and saying during that time? Why would you reject what I'm doing? Did I not say in my word that you are to humble yourself, not just to me, but in respect to others? As I move, I will move divinely through the vessels wherein I choose to move. You, on the other hand, are responsible to receive what it is I am doing. And know this, there are times, well, I will put you in a place to endure somebody you really don't like to bring about humility in your life. I will speak through vessels that you do not think are qualified to be used. I will minister through people that you do not think are very smart or very nice or very compassionate. In other words, I will use people that do not fit your description of the perfect minister or pastor. But when I am truly moving, you are treading on thin ice when you reject it, and your life is the proof of it. Yes, Paul went through many things in life, but yet my word says I continually delivered him, and that is because he was looking unto me. And not only that, but Paul received from the vessels through whom I was moving. I am a need meter. I am a problem solver. I am a joy giver. And I am a minister of peace. Your answers lie with me. So I say to you, as a father to a child, yield unto me. As long as you continue to look horizontally, you're just going to continue to see the problems. But when you begin to look vertically, you will be looking above the problems into my glory, and that is when I can lift you up. I'll lift you above the problems and the turmoil. I'll show you what I see, and you will experience deliverance. I am always there for you. I have not left you. I have not forsaken you. So make a decision to trust me no matter what, and do not reject that which I do, that which is genuine and is truly of me, no matter what the vessel I use. I want to take you into my arms and let you hear the beat of my heart and know my love and bring about permanent change in your life, says the Lord. Well, turn to Joshua chapter 14. What's happened is this. God has dealt with Israel's rebellion. And Israel, you know, they came out of Egypt. Everything was okay at first. But then they started taking issue with God. And they began to rebel. They began to do a lot of things that God said, don't do. And God said, you know what? I've had it with this bunch. So he made them march for 40 years in the wilderness. And as they're marching for 40 years in the wilderness, they encountered all kinds of stuff and they still rebelled. It's just amazing. And so God said, you know what? You guys are going to march for 40 years in the wilderness until everybody basically age 20 on up is dead. However, Joshua and Caleb had been sent forth to spy the land, the promised land. And they had gone with some other spies. When they came back, they began to talk about what they saw when they were over there. And they said, you know what? There are giants in the land. Oh, there are lots of good stuff over there too. But there are giants in the land. And there's nothing we can do to get rid of these giants. They're bigger than we are. They're stronger than we are. And they're just going to wipe us out. Well, Joshua and Caleb said, wait a second. Listen to us. We can do this. We can take this land. And as Joshua and Caleb were trying to convince the people, you know, don't listen to these other spies, well, they were outnumbered. And the people wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to kill Moses. And so God said, that's it. 40 years. You're going to march around in the wilderness till you're all dead. And the only ones who are going to be able to go into the promised land are Joshua and Caleb. In fact, I'll just read this to you from Numbers chapter 14. As God is speaking this about the ones that are going to die and so forth, He says, surely they shall not, it's Numbers 14, 23. He said, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And so God was saying, look, and in another place he talks about Joshua and Caleb are going to be the ones that go in. And he said, look, these are the only ones who are going to go in because they're the only ones who haven't rebelled against me. Them and the ones that are under, you know, age 20. Because even Moses had rebelled. Remember, God said the first time, strike the rock for the water, come out. Second time, he said, speak to it. Moses was mad. He hit the rock. God said, that's it. You're not going in. So here's Joshua and Caleb. And for 40 years, they're marching in the wilderness. Now, I want you to see this in Joshua 14. In verses 1 through 5, it talks about how that they were preparing to divide up the land. And each of the tribes was going to get a particular section of land. Well, you pick it up in verse 6. It says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He's 85. And yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. I mean, here's this 85-year-old man, and he's saying, for 40 stinking years, I have been waiting for this moment. Because he and Joshua went over into the promised land. And they spied out the land. And Moses had said to him, the area that you spied out, that your foot stepped upon, he said, that will be yours. And here they are now for 40 years. They're in that wilderness. And Joshua and Caleb knew what God had said. Now, I want you to put yourself in Caleb's position. That mountain is his. That mountain belongs to him. Now, I want you to see something about this mountain. In verse 13, And Joshua blessed him. Well, what else are you going to do when an 85-year-old man stands there and shakes his finger at your face and says, "Give me that mountain. I'm as strong now as I was 40 years ago. Give me that mountain. Do you hear me? Turn me loose, Mother Goose. It's time to fly." What else are you going to do but bless him? And Joshua blessed him. Now look at this. And gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. You see this? Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kiriath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now notice this where he says that Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb Hebron for an inheritance. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Turn back to Genesis chapter 13. Keep your finger here. We're coming back to it. Genesis chapter 13. God had given Abraham instructions to leave home, and he says, I'll take you to a land. You're going to be a blessing, and you're going to have great inheritance. I mean, all these wonderful things, and I'll bless them that bless you, etc., and so forth. You knew the story. Well, in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is where? In Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. What is Hebron? Hebron is the place of the covenant. Hebron is the place of the inheritance. Hebron is the place of the blessings. Hebron is the place where the voice of God manifested unto Abraham. Hebron is the place of revelation of everything that God has ever promised. And so God made this promise to Abraham. Well, what happened? Well, you know what happened. Abraham raises his family, the next generation, until Joseph ends up in Egypt. Great famine hits the land. And Joseph's family comes to live with him in Egypt. They leave their inheritance, the land of Hebron, and they go into Egypt. And there they are in Egypt, and God had given Abraham a word, a prophecy. And he says, here's what's going to happen. Your people are going to be enslaved for about 400 years. And those that enslave them are going to treat them horribly. But at the end of that time, I'm going to move miraculously and set them free, and they will be delivered back into their homeland. And that's exactly what happened. And what we're seeing right here in Joshua, Caleb has been given Hebron. You don't think those people knew what Hebron represented? You don't think that they recognize Hebron is the land of covenant? Hebron is the land of the promise? Hebron is the land of blessings? Hebron is the land where Abraham built that altar unto God? Hebron is the place where you hear the voice of God? Hebron represents everything that we have with God. Now here's Caleb. He had gone into the promised land with Joshua. And they see all of this. And they are so excited about it. And they come back and they tell Moses and they tell the people. The other spies said, no good. Joshua and Caleb said, yes. And when God made his pronouncement, 40 years are going to march around that wilderness till you're all dead. Joshua and Caleb and those that are now under age 20, they get to go in. And not only that, but the land on which Caleb's feet walked, that's his for an inheritance. And buddy, the lights went off. Praise God. I inherit the land of Father Abraham. I inherit the place where God spoke to Abraham. I inherit the place where the altar was built. I inherit the place where the covenant was established. The promises were spoken. That's mine. That's mine. So now here he is. He sees that land over there belongs to him. It's his inheritance. He has inherited everything that God promised. The problem is, he's got to wait 40 years before he can even think about going over there and taking possession. So here's Caleb. 40 years walking around in this wilderness. Every day he wakes up. I'm a day closer to my inheritance. I'm a day closer to Hebron. Every time somebody dies, that's one down. Only got 2 million to go. That's another one down. They had to keep him away from funerals because he was the only one rejoicing in this. Glory to God, they died. Hallelujah. One by one, they're dropping off. And I know this sounds crazy, but you've got to understand. Every time word got back somebody's died, he's like, well, I'm sorry they died, but I'm closer to my inheritance. I'm closer to Hebron. I'm closer to everything God's promised us. I'm closer to what is mine. And then it gets down. There's only one left. Moses. So there they are at the funeral of the next to the last person to die. And when the funeral's over, Caleb kind of looks over at Moses. Moses looks over at Caleb. Says, boy, don't you get any ideas. Talk about mixed emotions. You know that Moses has to die before you get your inheritance. And Moses is the man who's led you all this time. Moses is your friend. But until he dies, you don't get your inheritance. Now, there's a type and shadow for you. Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go. But why, Jesus? Because when I go, we'll send the Holy Ghost. Okay, well, yeah, but we kind of like you. He says, no, you don't understand. I leave, Holy Ghost comes, He gives you the revelation of your inheritance. So there's Caleb. He's thinking, boy, I'm this close. And you know, they're walking in this wilderness. He's saying, I'm going to get that mountain. That mountain's mine. I mean, every year another candle on the birthday cake. And as he's blowing out those candles, he's saying, I'm closer to my inheritance than I've ever been. I'm closer than I've ever been. And that kept that man going. Because he knew. He had a word from God, and God's word says the inheritance is yours. And he said, you're going to inherit it. What that meant was, he knew he was going to live to inherit it. Even after Moses died and they crossed over into that land, he knew nothing was going to stop him. Look here. This is why he says in verse 11, in Joshua 14, verse 11, he says, look, I'm as strong now as I was in the day that Moses sent me out there. In verse 10, he says, I am 85. I'm 85 years old and I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40 years old. That's because the hope on the inside of him that he knew he was going to see the fulfillment of the promises of God kept that man young. I'm telling you right now, I know this. When we lose grip of the promises of God, we're going to age fast. Because when you lose the hope of the promises of God manifesting, what else is there to hope for? It's like Job's wife said, well, why don't you just curse God and die? He says, you speak like a foolish woman. But the man lived. Outlived his wife. Got more kids. The man was blessed because he did not let go of the promises of God. And Caleb, 85 years old, and he says, I can do this. I don't care what the birth certificate says. I don't care what's written on my driver's license. Bless God, that is my mountain. That is mine. That's my inheritance. And so what happened? Well, if you look here in chapter 15, in verse 13, "Now unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord, to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak," which is in Hebron. "And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak." In other words, that man went in there and took no prisoners. This is my inheritance. But now there's something about this I want to point out to you. When Caleb was over in that promised land, 40 years prior, he saw the enemy. And when they came back to the rest of Israel, and those other spies were talking about the sons of Anak there, well, the giants. They're giants. They're strong. They're powerful. They're going to take us out. There's nothing we can do. Caleb and Joshua did not disagree that there were giants in the land. And they did not disagree that those guys were big and strong, rough, tough, mean and gruff. They didn't disagree with that at all. But what they said was, "We can do it." They said, "If the Lord be with us, we can do it. We can take this land. We can't be stopped. God's promised it to us. We can go in there and we can take it." But now, how those giants get there in the first place? Now think about this. 450 years ago, God had given that land to Abraham. Remember? Well, I shared the story. Abraham's descendants, Joseph and the whole bunch, they end up over there in Egypt and so on and so forth. Well, in 450 years, the giants have begun to move in and they've begun to multiply. Well, the spies go over there and they see this and they come back and they say, "Hey, bad news." They give the evil report. Now, Caleb's out there in that wilderness for 40 years. That's his inheritance. Hebron belongs to him because God said so. But at the same time, he also knows those giants are multiplying. They're getting bigger. They're getting stronger. They're becoming more numerous. They're making more and more weapons. They're getting meaner than ever. And as they're growing and increasing and multiplying and getting meaner than ever, what are they doing? They're building more fortresses, more cities. In other words, the enemy had set up strongholds in Hebron to keep Caleb from taking possession of his inheritance. But if you look in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, Caleb said, "Give me this mountain." Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, "For you and I both know the enemy is big there. The cities are great. The cities are fenced. But if so be the Lord will be with me, I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said." So an 85-year-old man, he's saying, "Hey, if the Lord is with me, I can do this. It won't matter." Well, he already knew the Lord was with him, because God had said so, and he already knew. "Once I step across that Jordan, nothing is going to keep me from my inheritance. And I don't care how big the cities, I don't care how fortified, I don't care how many weapons, I don't care how big those giants, that is my inheritance. It does not belong to them. And I am going over there. God is going to be with me in this battle and I'll take it. And it will be mine and it will belong to my seed. Hebron is my inheritance." And sure enough, that's what happened. But now you'll notice in this, he said, "If the Lord will be with me, I'll be able to drive them out." What does he not say? He doesn't say, "I'm going to sit on the banks of Jordan and wait for God to drive them out, then I'm going to move in and take over." He said, "If God will be with me, I'm the one that's going to drive the enemy out of my inheritance. I will take possession." Now see, think about this. See, there was a land flowing with milk and honey. That means all the rivers, all the streams, all the crops, all of the pasture, all of everything that was a part of that mountain and surrounding that mountain, all that area of Hebron right there, all of it. That was Caleb's. But the enemy had set up strongholds to keep Caleb out of there. They didn't want him in. Well, we're here. It's ours. Caleb said, you know what? It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter how strong they are. It doesn't matter what kind of a challenge they present. The bottom line is, if God be for me, who can be against me? That is my inheritance. I'm going to take it. And sure enough, he did. And he marched down there and he fought the battles. But the Lord was with him. He drove the enemy out of his inheritance and he took possession of every crop. He took possession of every stream. He took possession, whatever gold and silver and precious jewels existed there in Hebron. That was his, man. And he took possession of it. All of it. He took it and it was his. And this whole story is a type and shadow for us today. Look over in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. In verse 27 it says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." I'm an heir. All of those things back there in the Old Testament, that whole issue of the land of Hebron, that is a type and shadow of the inheritance that we have today as believers. If I'm Christ's seed, then I'm the seed of Abraham and I'm the joint heir. I am an heir. I have this inheritance. The thing is, my inheritance is not a natural inheritance per se, although it impacts the realm of the natural. Let me read to you some of the things that we have inherited. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, we have inherited a seat of authority with Jesus at the Father's right hand. In 1 Peter 2:24, we have inherited healing. 1 Peter 1:8, we have inherited joy unspeakable and full of glory. Philippians 4:19, we have inherited all our needs met. John 14:27 and Philippians 4:7, we have inherited the peace of Christ, a peace that passes all understanding. In Mark 16:17 and 18, we have inherited authority over sickness and devils. In Luke 24:49 and Acts 1:8, we have inherited the right to be filled with the Holy Spirit and receive power. In Hebrews 4:16, we have inherited freedom to approach the throne of grace. In 2 Corinthians 8:9 and 9:8, we have inherited access to wealth and abundance. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we have inherited all spiritual blessings. In Romans 8:32, we have inherited all things. That's our inheritance. All right, let me ask you this. Are you living in your inheritance? Are you? Are you living daily with authority over devils and sickness? Well, that's my inheritance. I know that's your inheritance, but are you living in it? Are you living in the Hebron of blessings? Are you living in the Hebron of power? Are you living in the Hebron of deliverance? Are you living in the Hebron of peace and joy? Are you living in the Hebron of all these things? I mean, are you living daily with the understanding that you can go boldly before the throne of grace and not worry about it? Not be so concerned about how life has been and what I've done. Do you understand you have inherited the open door to the throne of grace? Are you living in your inheritance? Hebron is an analogy for what we've inherited in Christ. Let me show you something. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Take a look here in verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." There's warfare that's going on. And this warfare has to do with keeping us from coming to the place of having the full knowledge of who we are in God. See, it's one thing for me to stand up here and point out these things that we have as an inheritance. The truth of the matter is, for a lot of Christians, when you say this, it's almost like the words are bouncing off a wall and coming back. It's like, I hear what you're saying, I know what the verses say, but it ain't registering up here. Because if that was really mine, I would have it. How many of you know that when you leave here tonight, there is a destination for you? It might be your apartment. It might be your house. But are you going to come up for prayer and say, "Oh, Pastor, would you please pray for me that I'll have a place to go tonight?" Well, that's as goofy can be goofy, because you know you have a place. That's because you have a confidence on the inside of you that as long as you didn't lose the key, you're going to be able to unlock the door and walk in. You understand that? That's the same kind of confidence we're supposed to have about our inheritance. That's the kind of confidence that Caleb had. It doesn't matter how stinking old I am. It doesn't matter what this body is trying to tell me. That is my inheritance. I'm going to possess it. I'm going to live in it. I'm going to benefit from it every day of my life. And not only that, but I will bless my family with it as well. And it doesn't matter what the enemy is like. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter how intimidating the weapons of the enemy are. The bottom line is, God's for me. Who can be against me? I win. And I know I win before I cross Jordan and engage the enemy in battle. I know I win. Because the Lord is with me. Look over in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, why do I need to do that? Because the devil hates you. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil are more mental than they are physical. It's a mind game. Remember, that's what I shared this morning, how that Satan wants to impact our thinking because our thoughts will eventually produce actions. And if he can influence my mind with the imaginations we just read about, if he can get my mind wrapped around the imaginations of defeat, no matter what that defeat represents, he's going to keep me from the Hebron of joy, the Hebron of healing, the Hebron of blessings, the Hebron of deliverance. He's going to keep me from my inheritance. And so he says right here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Meaning, when you do this, you will stand. The inheritance is yours. You'll see it manifested. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. None of them get through. None of them get through. You quench all of them, including the ones that are designed specifically to get you thinking opposite of who you are in Christ. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We just read over there in 2 Corinthians how that we're to cast down the imaginations. That's going to be the biggest stronghold. The enemy in Hebron had built strongholds to keep anybody from coming in and taking what they thought belonged to them. Now listen to this. The enemy has built strongholds in your life to keep you from your inheritance. Please let that sink in. The biggest problem that you have rests between your ears. Because, see, these strongholds are what the enemy uses to keep you bound up in fear, in grumbling and complaining, and murmuring. You know, it's interesting how that when a lot of folks come in, you don't have to ask them, how are you doing? Their face is like a billboard. I am in a stinko mood. I do not want to talk to you. When I smile, it will be fake. I wish I were not here. But if my wife wouldn't stop nagging me, I would have stayed home. I don't like you tonight. Yeah. Sad thing is, well, no, we don't even want to mention that. Praise God. Satan, look. Imaginations are what produce sour attitudes.
You're picking on me.
That series on sin, Brother Martin, I'm sick and tired of it. You're taking away all the fun in life.
Man, I'm not taking away all the fun in life. What I'm trying to do is help you to look past the deception and understand that sin isn't right before God, and help you get into the place where the real fun exists. Remember what I shared this morning? As long as you look horizontally, all you're going to do is see your circumstances. All you're going to do is see your problems. All you're going to do is see the enemy. All you're going to do is see the stuff. But when you start looking unto Jesus, you start looking vertically to the author and finisher of our faith. That's when you start rising above all that junk. Now look, these strongholds are going to impact you, distort your perception, distort your thinking, and that's why many times you're going to come in here just being, you know, an old sourpuss grump. That you say, well, it's just different. You know, you don't know what I'm going through. I do know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. It's a stronghold.
Well, no, Brother Martin, not really a stronghold. It's just, you know.
No, it's a stronghold. Doesn't the Bible say the joy of the Lord is our strength? Right? Doesn't the Bible say, I just read the passages to you, that we've inherited joy unspeakable and full of glory. Is that not what Scripture says? Did not Jesus say, peace I leave with you? Doesn't the Bible talk about the peace that passes all understanding? These are things that we've inherited. Now, if I'm living in my inheritance, I'm not going to be a grumpy, naggy, old sourpuss. And, you know, the problem is, too many Christians live with a double standard. God help the pastor if he becomes human. But it's okay for the rest of us. Because, you know, we're just who we are. But him, bless God, help him. He better not have a bad day. Well, you know what? He won't if he's walking in his inheritance. Listen, the enemy has established strongholds in your life to keep you from your inheritance. Boy, you know what? Yeah. Blindness is the biggest stronghold. Not physical blindness. Spiritual. Yeah, that's why he wrote that, isn't it? Ephesians. Chapter 1. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Lord of our that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Not darkened, enlightened. Which means we reverse the darkness. Blindness is the biggest stronghold. What blindness? The blindness that keeps you right where you are, not believing that this inheritance belongs to you. How many more years do you want to walk in a wilderness of stuff, man?
Well, I just don't know, Brother Martin. You know, I'm just waiting for God to move. Hold on!
Caleb said, if the Lord is with me, I will be able to drive them out. He did not say, if the Lord is with me, I'll sit back and watch him do his thing. Then I'll just go on in and take what I want here. The Bible says what we just read there in Ephesians, the weapons of whose warfare? Our warfare. See, if the devil can blind you into thinking you don't have to do anything, just sit back and wait and God's going to move and come in, you know, like the Lone Ranger on a great big old horse and just fix everything, you're wrong. Your inheritance has already fixed everything. It's the weapons of our warfare. God is already with you. If God be for us, who can be against us? So God's already with you. Therefore, I'm supposed to be taking... See, God's given us the weapons. We put them on and fight. The weapons He's given us guarantee victory. What, you think He's going to give us something that's iffy? He says, well, I don't know if this will work or not. Here, try it. But it's in that area of the emotions where those imaginations are. Oh, Brother Martin, I just tell you... the devil, he's about the best friend I've got anymore because he's the only one that's around. Everybody else has forsaken me. No. God said, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. You have inherited His presence. He's there. All the time. He can't leave you. Because He can't lie. And... See, here's the thing. This is risky for God. Because when He opens His mouth and He says something, He knows He has to do it. Because He can't lie. So you better believe He thinks very hard about what He's going to say before He says it. And when He made that statement, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, He has kept it every day of your life. You have inherited His presence. But I don't feel Him. He didn't say you have inherited feelings. He said, okay, here's one for you. If you want to be like that. Look back, keep your finger here in Ephesians. Look back over in Joshua. Where were we? 13? 14. Joshua 14. Let me show you something. There's a reason this is in here. But you know what? God gave me a strong revelation the other day that I have yet to fully comprehend. Now, let me put it in my own words. Every word in the Bible, I have put there for a purpose. Every single word. I mean, even the single letter word A, every word in Scripture, He has put there for a purpose. And the more I get into this, I mean, just it was like He's been ministering that to me. And then this afternoon, it's like it became even larger. It became even more illuminated to me to see this. Look here. Numbers 13:6. These are the spies that went out into the land. And this isn't the verse I was going to show you, but this one works. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Okay, now, here's what the Lord just reminded me of a moment ago. This whole thing of possessing your inheritance. What tribe was it that was given the full inheritance? The tribe of Judah. What does Judah represent? Praise and worship. What is a message in this? If you want to begin to take possession of your full inheritance, if you want to get to the place of having a greater experience with God, get into the place where the covenant was cut, the promises were spoken, where the inheritance was guaranteed, where the blessings were delivered. I mean, if this is what you want, if you want to take your Hebron, then one of the things you've got to do is you've got to start praising and worshiping God. Praise takes the inheritance. Worship takes possession. Well, in Ephesians, He says here in chapter 5, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Well, what is the will of the Lord? For me to live in my inheritance, that I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, to live in the fullness of everything God has promised me. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Praise and worship is not about what you feel when you do it. Praise and worship is about what you know happens when you do it. And if you're looking for some kind of goosey bump, "I feel a whole lot better now as a result of your praise and worship," what you need to understand is that there's going to be Satan may well indeed have a stronghold in your life, a walled city, a fenced city, to keep you from your inheritance. And it may take you day after day after day of marching around that city, praising and worshiping God, and the emotions are not in agreement with what's coming out of your mouth, but yet every time you open your mouth and begin to praise and worship the Lord, God is there with you, moving on your behalf to help tear those cities down. And this is one of the reasons why these strongholds exist, is to keep you from taking possession of your inheritance. But at the same time, who wants to praise God when it looks like you're up against a giant? Who wants to praise God when it looks like there's no way you can win? When it looks like everything in your life is crumbling around your feet? Who wants to praise God when it looks like you lost before you started? Who feels like worshiping? It's not about what you feel like doing. It's about what God has said about praise and worship. He says, "Hebron, the inheritance was given to a man of praise and worship." A man birthed out of praise and worship, inherited the fullness of Hebron and everything that it represented. Now here we are today. And all of that back then was a type and shadow. An analogy for us today, spiritual Hebron is the place of our inheritance. It's the place of my joy. It's the place of my strength. It's the place of everything that God has promised me. And even though we may not feel physically like we can take another step, the bottom line is, Hebron is still there. The mountain's not going anywhere. It's waiting for us. And the enemy hopes that the eyes of your understanding don't get enlightened, because the enemy knows that the moment the eyes of your understanding become enlightened, that you're going to start walking toward Hebron, and you're going to start walking toward the fenced cities, and you're going to start walking with the armor of God and realize that you're going to take what the enemy has been keeping from you, and there's nothing he can do about it. And then the day's going to come if you don't stop. The day's going to come when you're going to put that foot, that first step into Hebron. And you're going to step into joy. And you're going to step into peace. And here's the thing the enemy is going to try and do. He's going to recognize the fact, okay, you made this progress. You stepped over the line. I couldn't stop you. You've gotten this far. But now what I want to do is deceive you into thinking you made it, so that you don't come on and take the rest of this mountain. Listen, you've got to understand there's a reason the stronghold has been built in your life. See, for some people, the enemy doesn't build a stronghold around their emotions because for some reason he recognizes he's not going to be able to get you down into mully grubs. But for other people, oh, he's going to come at you. You're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to be in a bad mood just because you want to. You're going to be grumpy at the dog, at the cat, at the parakeet. You're going to be grumpy. I mean, you're going to rejoice if a skunk comes walking through the yard and sprays everything. Hallelujah. That's just the way my day's been. And the enemy's going to build strongholds in your life because he knows that's the part of your life that's not protected. For some people, the enemy builds strongholds in the area of finances because he knows he's got you confused in the area of finances. You don't know what to do. For some people, it's this. For some people, it's that. There are strongholds. You ever sat and wondered, how come I'm going through this and nobody else is? You ever wondered about that kind of stuff? Why am I having these problems? Why can't Pastor have these problems? He can handle it. Besides, he's a pastor. He ought to have a few problems. Yeah. I won't tell you what she said. Yeah, I will. She said, he's got us. I said, haven't you ever been there where you feel like it's just not fair? And yet the person over here on the other side is feeling the same way, only about something else. There's a reason that I've got my strongholds. You've got your strongholds. I'm not speaking a negative confession. I'm using this as an illustration. There's a reason the enemy tries to build these things. Now listen, guys, whether you know it or not, they're there. Until you tear them down. And they're going to stay there. They're not going to go away on their own. If the Lord be with me, I will drive that enemy out. The weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I can put on the armor of God to fight the battle, and I know I win. I can't lose. The enemy will scream, you can't win, you can't win, you never had before, you're never going to win. And God says, who are you going to listen to? I promised you, Hebron, the day my son rose from that grave. Take possession of your inheritance. It's yours, and it will always be yours. Joshua could have crossed Jordan, sat down and said, I wish I had my mountain. Or Caleb. And Joshua could have looked at Caleb and said, well, go take it. You said you were going to take it. Ah, that was then. I don't think God wants me to now. Well, that's your inheritance, man. The Lord promised that to you. Well, I know, but. Oh, Caleb didn't have time for buts. He looked at his family and he says, come on, guys, let's take it. I mean, in one place, he even threw a prize out. You can read it in Joshua 15. It's kind of weird, but he said, all right, whoever takes this over here gets my daughter to be wife. And so it was Caleb's nephew that did the thing, won the battle, and got Caleb's daughter to be his wife. That's a little weird for me, but thing is, man, he didn't stop until he took it. And the Bible says, and there was peace in the land. There was peace in the land. Hebron represents everything you have inherited. And the enemy has strongholds built, and they're not going anywhere until you put on the armor of God and you fight the battles. But God has already guaranteed victory because we're using His armor. The biggest problem is if you let Satan keep you down in your mind. You're the one that has to cast down those imaginations. No matter what the Bible says, do not let your feelings or your emotions counter what His Word says. I don't care if you are crying. I don't care if you feel like you know, one of those moods where you just don't know what you want to do, but you sure want to do something. You know what? Now, I've never been there. Hallelujah. Even when you're in one of those moods, man, just force it out of your mouth. I don't care what I'm seeing. God's Word says such and such. This is truth for me. Even though right now I'm having a hard time believing it, this is truth for me. This is my life. That is me in the Word of God. I have this peace. I have this joy. I have this deliverance. I have whatever the inheritance is. God, I don't feel like it right now, but it's mine. You said so and you can't lie. That's mine. And that scares the enemy. Because you keep doing that, you're going to get out of it, man. You're going to climb out of it, and you're going to start walking in the land of Hebron, flowing with milk and honey and all the blessings that God has promised. Fight the good fight of faith and take your Hebron. The more that you take your Hebron, the more of it you walk in, there's another type of an emotion you're going to have to fight.
You say, well, what emotion is that?
The emotion of intolerance toward other believers that you know better but still sit down in the mud puddle and complain. Hallelujah. I just thought I'd let you know ahead of time, because that will happen. That's when you have to start praying, Father, help me see them the way you see them. I refuse to have this attitude, Father. Help me to see them the way you see them.